Hey guys, and welcome back to the Lies We Tell podcast. On this episode, we have Ryan Maslow, aka Abora, from season 2 of Dragula, and also Drag Queen of the Year. You know, me and Ryan came up doing comedy together, and we found ourselves in the same city again. And so we just caught up a little bit. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode. And also, don't forget to go to Ryan's Drag Twitch this Friday. I'll leave a link in the description, and I hope you guys can make it out to that as well, and I hope you enjoy the episode.
Do you feel that you've gotten more fancy since you've gotten to LA?
Yeah, I had to, yeah, a little bit. Tastes change, you know?
Yeah, I like avocados a lot now, and I didn't like them before I came here.
I gave them a shot, and now I'm buying, like,
yeah, I buy like 7 at a time, and I eat them for breakfast. I eat avocado toast for breakfast almost every morning.
It's a good fat.
Yeah, that's what I tell myself every time I eat it. I'm like, it's good fat, you know? Like the sourdough bread that's going on, it's good fat, you know? So, what are you eating out of a can? What's going on over there, dude? Are you kidding me? You're eating out of a goddamn can? How bad is your pandemic going? Fucking eating fish out of a can at the beach.
The dichotomy.
Yeah, dude. Fuck. I'm going to have to send you some Instacart or something. Got to get you something going on over there. Fucking eating out of a can. Someone of your stature. Eating out of a can. Like a hobo on the side of the road. A railroad. Fucking with his handkerchief full of little knickknacks. What is wrong with you, dude? Coming on my podcast, eating out of a can that you freshly opened. Like, I saw the serrated edges. You know why I saw the serrated edges? Because his background's terrible. And I could see where it wasn't going. Oh, my God. You just have no respect for this podcast whatsoever. It's almost like you didn't know I could see you. Like, who eats out of a can in front of someone that knows they can see? No. It's like eating Vienna sausages in front of anybody. Like, that's embarrassing. Don't do that to yourself. Respect yourself, right? God. You know what? You have changed since you came to LA, and it's like you have no self-respect whatsoever. God. But is it good tuna fish? Is it albacore?
Yeah, it's the best. It's
omega. You don't even know.
Omega-3s.
I mean, that's good. What else it got in it? Is it in water or oil?
It was in oil. It's got niacin. I guess that's...
I don't fucking know. What year is this from? Like, how long have you had this tuna? Because nobody gets tuna with the intention of eating it immediately. You're like, if shit gets dire, I'll eat this. That's why I'm worried about you.
Wild caught, dolphin safe.
Okay, well, at least the dolphins are safe, I guess.
It
looks like a can from the 1950s.
I lied, it is in water.
It's in water. Well, that's healthier, I guess. I don't know. How's your day been going? Good is what I'm guessing.
Up until now, pretty good. Getting ridiculed.
For just living your life, you know? Honestly, somebody needs to be a no man to you. And as soon as you start eating out fish from a can, that's where I'll draw the line.
Thank you, Jason, because I got a lot of yes people.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. I've always been a no man to you.
A lot of people telling me that I'm great. I don't need to change.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, if you're treating your body the way I see you treating it, you got to change some things, my friend. Drinking LaCroix and fucking shitty-ass tuna. God knows what cabinet that came out of. How long it's been there.
spare some change also?
Oh, dude, I'm Venmoing you $40 as we speak because I feel so bad for you. Are you kidding? Dude, I'm sending you some groceries. Like, it seems like you're on the street, the reason we got this background.
Yeah.
Like, you're just, like, living on the street over there.
I want to see where I'm
Oh, my God.
Please don't.
Right, come on. Are you serious? Dude, no. Are you living in, like, a fucking crack house? That is insane.
I'm partially evicted. This space is, like, kind of a garage unit, and I've just been renovating it and putting it up. I have, like, a bunch of nice furniture in it up until a week ago, and then the landlord was like, you got to move all this stuff out. Inspector's coming, so.
Oh, so you were, like, kind of using it as a bedroom, even though it wasn't supposed to be a bedroom?
Right, but I had a work table, I had racks. Yeah. Makeup station, I had a bed, I had like a cute little living room area.
Yeah.
I had to get all that out of there in a day.
And a day? You had a day to do that?
Mm-hmm. But it was all IKEA, so it broke down really easily. And
it probably like just broke.
Yeah.
You probably can't use it. Every time I buy IKEA stuff, I'm like, well, it's for one apartment. And whenever I leave this one, it's done.
Just leave it with it.
Yeah, because there's no, like, you try to move that stuff, it's falling apart. For the most part.
You gotta be gentle. It's all particle wood and balsa.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Like, I have a IKEA desk right now, and I would say maybe 4 out of the 6 drawers work right, and the rest are just, like, hard. Like I don't even use them.
Well, how long have you had it?
I've probably had 2 years, and it's gone through 3 apartments.
Long.
So, or 3 years in 3 apartments. But it's actually lasted. Like, it was one of the more expensive desks, but it's heavy as hell. Like, I don't like moving it. I should have just left it at the last place, honestly. But
on your back.
Yeah. But So you had to move all that stuff out. Have you moved it back? Like, when are you planning on moving it back in? Is it just like in a storage unit or what?
It's all, I live in a part of a whole house. The house is nice and staying there right now. And everything's just like crammed in there, and, we got stuff on the side of the house. So it's just until the inspector comes, and then we'll probably move everything back in.
Yeah. He just hasn't came yet.
It's been looming over our heads for like 2 years, and the last time this happened, he never showed up, and I just. Yeah.
So you had to move all your stuff out before, and then had to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks. And then it's been 2 years since you had to do that.
Well, last time I had to do it, I basically had as much stuff as I just showed you, plus some costumes. So
yeah, it wasn't that bad.
Now that I'm rich and I have a bunch of IKEA furniture, that was kind of
nice. Dude, that's how you know you made it, when you're getting the upper tier IKEA stuff.
Yeah,
the stuff you can take apartment to apartment,
when you're picking stuff based on the color.
Yeah, not the price, you know.
I like this rug.
I don't have to settle for the $49 rug. I can get the rug that I want.
I can get the rug that I want today. And yeah, it was nice.
Well, now you get to do it all over again, you know? That could be fun, or that could just be another thing you have to do.
Right.
What have you been doing, like, throughout the isolation? You've been, like, busier than normal, right?
Yeah, actually, I was just watching the last of a drag show that I was in before I popped on here with you. In fact, it's still going. I just watched my part, and then I commented, all right, thank you, gotta go, bye.
Oh, it was another Zoom thing where they were watching your performance?
Yeah, it was on Twitch. And
oh, okay.
Yeah. Hope it's going okay. Made about $20.
Oh, well, that's good. So every time you do like one of those little things, they like throw you $20 to get you some more canned tuna. Is that what they do? They're like, this, he's one of the best, but he only eats canned tuna. So we got to give him $20 at least, or he's not even going to pop in from his crack house.
$20 worth of tuna.
Yeah. Holy shit. Well, that's cool that you got to do that. I've watched some of your videos and stuff like recently, because like the last time I saw you was you were actually performing all this. Like it was like the beginning stages of it. Like you had, I felt like it was almost like cardstock or something as a nose.
Yeah.
And you had the fingers too, but I think they were also cardboard or something. And I just remember everybody getting so freaked out when you walked in and I realized it was you. And I was like, this is going to be hilarious. Like I was just, I loved it whenever somebody came and made everybody, like the comedians, uncomfortable. Like it just made my day. I'm like, who cares? Like, this is the funniest shit. Like there was like one guy that came dressed as Chester the Cheetah one time. You remember that guy?
No, I think that was before me.
Oh, it, I think it was like maybe right before you, but he came up at Chester the Cheetah, and I was just like dying laughing, dude. Couldn't hold it in, but it, like I don't remember if he did well or not, but I just thought it was so fun because he didn't take the head off the whole time and like would come sit with the comics and didn't do anything. It was insane. I thought it was so funny. And then when you came out and was a Bora, and dude, you made people so uncomfortable, but then you went up there and like, cause like everybody we performed for was not like into drag or anything or anything like that. And so when you came out, you, like people were like kind of scared. Cause like, I think you had the contacts maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you had the contacts too. I don't really. Yeah. But
scary, which I guess goes against comedy. I don't know.
Yeah, being scary and comedy's not they're close, like horror and comedy, but you know, I don't know. It was I remember people's reactions to you, and then when you got off stage it was completely different, you know? Like I remember people just talking when you would go up, because like they're there for a regular comedy show or whatever. I remember people talking like, oh my God, what's that going to be? You know, like just kind of like, Jesus Christ, I didn't know we were coming to this. And then you go up and like, you're hysterical, you know, and then you come off and people are just like, I don't know. People were like kind of amazed by you. And I was always like interested. I was like, what is Ryan doing? You know, like when you would come to open mics, I'm like, I got to stick around and see what Ryan's doing. Like, I don't think I watched that many people at the open mics, but I remember watching you and maybe two or three more people.
God, those were different times when we would all get together in that basement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to think. Like, I remember you at the auditorium.
That was wild.
Yeah, that was the closest place that would accept you, I think, at the time. It was the auditorium, and that's the one where I remember people talking like, what's this going to be? You know? And I was like, dude, you literally have fucking like dead birds, like that you glued two heads on in this place. And like Ryan, you're worried what Ryan's going to do.
It's always, you know, wasn't that around the time that like Joker killer, like massacred that?
Oh yeah. That's what it was.
Ooh, this person's mentally imbalanced. They have a nose on.
Yeah.
On their head. I don't know. I don't want to be here.
But yeah, I think that's what, like in North Carolina, South Carolina, like if, I mean, some people might not even remember this, but there were clowns going around. Like, I don't know if they were scaring people or did they ever kill anybody? I don't think anybody got killed, but.
Teenagers, and then it got viral on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they started doing it everywhere. Yeah, and it just became like a really scary thing, like a weird ass thing. And then you come in fucking dressed like the scariest damn clown. Dude, that is why that explains so much about that reaction now, looking back on it. I'm like, holy fuck. I was like, I always remembered that. I was like, that's just the weirdest reaction people would have to someone.
I wish I was self-aware and could like work with that, because in retrospect I thought people just thought I was boring, but I guess they were put off.
I think they were put off in like because of that, for sure, because everybody was interested, like when you would come like dressed like that, because you were usually wearing like heels or something. You were like tall every time you were Bora.
Yeah.
I don't think you were wearing stilts yet or whatever, but you're
A lot of effort goes into that, and I think I gave more than I got out of it.
Oh, for sure. Like, that's what every open mic felt like for everybody. But you especially, because you put on your fucking fake nose and you're like, you got ready. Like, you actually prepared. Like, most people would come up like barely prepared for the show.
But all the effort went into the look and not the material, so.
I remember was the first time you ever got up, was that the Southern as far as like Abora, or did you just get up as Ryan there
that night? I heckled everybody. I did not know etiquette,
like. Yeah, that was funny. I think it was like your first or second time, and you were just heckling everybody that went up, and it was hysterical. I was like, this guy doesn't give a fuck. And it was just like, I don't know, because you were like giving it to people who like sort of had respect, and you were just like, you're terrible. Just fucking, like, you went in and out of character several times. I was like, I don't know who's saying this, but one of them is killing it, you know? So, I don't know. But yeah, I guess people who's listening, that's how we know each other, through comedy.
Yeah, and Ashley.
In Asheville, yeah. Asheville's like super small, like, community. I feel like anybody that's ever like gone through Asheville or anything like has a connection to somebody I know. Like, I feel like I know a bunch of bands and stuff from Asheville, and like, it's just an artsy type community, I guess.
Well, you lived there for how long?
Not as long as I. Like, to me, like, Asheville feels like home. I've probably spent 3 years there, but I've been out in LA for 5 at this point. So I've been here longer than I've been in Asheville, which feels weird.
Where were you before that?
Before Asheville, I was in Raleigh. I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, like the capital.
That's where you grew up.
No, I didn't grow up there. That was my first job out of college. I got in Raleigh. I went to college in Greenville, North Carolina. Then I moved to Raleigh for my first job. And then I started comedy in Raleigh. And then I moved to Chapel Hill for like maybe 6 months. And then I moved to Asheville. Because I was like, Asheville's like where it's at.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
I honestly thought that, because like, I was like, every time I go to Asheville, they have like good shows and good comedians go there. I was like, here in Raleigh, we're getting like fucking Road Dogs and stuff. But all the like people I was interested in would go through Asheville. So I was like, well, if I'm going to open up for anybody, it's going to be in Asheville, you know. So I moved, and I actually liked it. Like, I liked the city a lot and stuff before I moved.
It's cute to visit, but not to live.
Yeah, I don't think I could live there again. Because I've been back and I've gone to like, I've done shows and stuff. But I was like, yeah, it's nice to think about this time in my life, but it's not where I could like be right now. I was like, that was a fun time in my life for sure, but I don't want to come back to that at all.
It had this like kind of safety net where you could go out, get drunk, come home, go to work, and live your life. And you know, you always have a roof over your head. You always know.
Yeah.
Day is going to be just like the last one, but it just, you know, there's no growth. There's no.
Yeah, I felt set stagnant, like with comedy in general. Like, I would get stagnant with it. And like that's when I just started going on the road and stuff. And I think you were kind of similar, didn't you? Start going on the road more or something.
I just had to get out of the scene. So I thought Atlanta was like where it was.
Oh yeah, because I went and did a comedy festival and I saw you there and I was like very confused. I'm like, what are you doing here? Like every time I talk to you, you've moved to a different place and you're where I'm at. and I never know. Because like the last time I was just doing a comedy festival in Atlanta and I go to this after party and there you are sitting down. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here, Ryan? You know? And then now I just talked to you, I don't know, a few days on Instagram. I'm like, what do you mean you're in LA? I've been here for 5 years. You didn't say shit to me.
You know? Last time I texted you, I thought I told you that I was moving here, but then I realized that I was just here filming for Dragula, and I thought I was going to move back to Atlanta.
So yeah, I think that's what I thought. I still thought you were in Atlanta, and I was honestly texting you and just being like, what's up? What's Atlanta like right now? And then like I was like, holy shit. Because I thought if I had you on the podcast that there would be an hour, like there would be a time difference.
No,
but you're like down the street from me, pretty much.
Still out.
Yeah, just basking in the sand and shit, dude. All that shit.
Mosquitoes, though. So.
Oh yeah, have you had mosquitoes here in LA?
Yeah. Have you?
No, that's a southern thing to me. I'm like, in the south is where you get all these fucking mosquitoes when it's humid. Out here, no mosquitoes. But you must be like. Further, like more towards the beach, maybe where it's more humid.
A little bit, K-Town. Yeah, we're not far from the beach.
Yeah, so maybe it's like a little more humid over there or something.
I've been like bites all over me every morning. I don't see them, and they just. Well, I do. I see them a couple times before I go to bed.
Just assume that you have a truce when you close your eyes that they're not going to eat you, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a torture. How do they get? They're crawling in there.
Yeah, dude, they're getting you through the blanket. You can't trust those things. It's insane. Where are they getting you, though? Like on the arms or what?
The legs, most.
The legs. Like near the ankle?
Legs, kind of the shoulder area.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're getting in.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look like you have a whole lot set up over there as far as pest control from what I could see. So maybe that's why you're sleeping in the dirt. So that could be one, though. You could burn one of those Glade candles, like those outdoor candles, before you go to bed, though. That might help.
Shouldn't have to. Like you're right. This is like a southern thing. Why do I have to deal?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because I haven't dealt with those since. I used to get eat up by mosquitoes in the south. Like I thought I had sweet blood or something. I'm like, these things are after me. Horse flies too. Like when I worked at the beach, I'd get horse flies after me. Have you ever got bitten by a horse fly?
Are those big?
They're pretty big. Yeah, they're a little fat. Like they're like a. It's like if you zoomed in on a fly, honestly. Like maybe 150%.
No.
Maybe 200%. They're huge. Those things, I've never been bitten by something and felt it. Like I've been bitten by spiders and didn't even know it. But this thing bit me, and I was like, oh, damn. I was like, I can't go to the beach anymore because these things, like, as soon as you'd lay down, they're like two or three of them would land on you, and you'd just be eaten up. It's the nastiest thing. I was like, a fly biting me? Get out of here, dude. I'm an indoor cat from now on.
What do they want? Your blood? Your sweat?
I don't know. I don't think it's anything. It might be sweat. Maybe it's sweat. But they bite you.
Yeah, they're just nibbling at you for
dude, it hurts bad. Like it's insane. I remember just going to the beach and getting eat up by them. I was like, I think I went to the beach one time, and I worked there for like 3 months. Only went to the beach once. So
I wish there was like something smaller that could bite them, see how they like it.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But we could just kill them. That probably does about the same. Teach them a lesson, you know.
Yeah.
But how's your quarantine been? You've been keeping busy, though. So.
Yeah.
Like, have you noticed it at all?
I mean, no, not really, because I quit my job 2 years ago, and I haven't needed to have a day job for about 2 years, so yeah. I haven't had a regular schedule for 2 years, so when everybody started freaking out that we have to be indoors all the time, I mm-hmm. it didn't really bother me at first, and yeah. Then I started seeing my roommates a lot more, and then it started to bother me.
You started seeing them more? Oh, yeah. Because they're working from home or, like, off work or whatever.
Now they're around the house, and I see them all the time, and now I'm going crazy. But I was fine. I was fine. I was going through the same experience that everybody's talking about now on the internet, where they're all complaining, I don't know what day it is, I'm depressed all the time, I'm just like, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Y'all were asking me a year ago, why are you angry all the time?
Yeah. Damn, yeah, you've been in this life for a while, so you're just like, Stockholm Syndrome. Then this is normal to you.
I quote, you are a visitor in darkness, bad man.
Yeah, damn, for sure. Yeah, mine's been like, I feel like mine's a lot better now than it was, because like I went through a breakup like as soon as quarantine started happening, so I was like in the thick of that. And as soon as I got on the other side of that, I'm like, quarantine's fine. You know, quarantine is great, actually.
That's so. So sorry to hear that.
Yeah, no, it was just weird. It was just the timing. I was like, oh, dude. My friend even made this joke. He was like, dude, I know you feel like your world's ending, but it feels that way for everybody right now.
Yes.
So fuck off. I was like, all right, cool. I get that. I mean, everybody thinks they're dying and their world's ending. I was like, it's a different time.
You're probably. Not as big as everyone else is right now.
That always works.
Yeah. Yeah. It always makes it better, you know. But yeah, no, it was fun. It's fun.
Practically, at least y'all split up instead of, you know, getting stuck together. You know?
Yeah, that would have been pretty bad. Yeah. I made sure that didn't happen for sure. I made sure that didn't happen.
Like and then you were like, we gotta bring up.
I was like trying to move out before like we even found out about the coronavirus. So the coronavirus hit like the week I was like planning to move, like that's when lockdown started. And so the breakup and everything, I was like kind of getting over it in a way. And then the coronavirus happened, and that set me back quite a bit.
Like, what are the stressful things in life?
Mm-hmm.
Breakups.
Yeah.
Moving.
Yeah.
Staying inside because of coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, you're only left inside to feel everything, you know, and, like, put your mind on what's really wrong, you know? Like, it's fucking... not a good time, I'll tell you that much. I read a lot of self-help books, and I'll tell you one thing. I'm not the one to help me. Not whatsoever.
It don't work.
No. I mean, I read one that told me to make my bed every day, so I guess I did that. You know, I make my bed.
Book your mom. Make your bed.
Yeah. Pretty much, I read a whole book that told me just to make my bed, and I'm like, you know what? He's got a point. I'm going to make my bed. Like, that's what I needed as an adult. Was a book to tell me that I should make my bed. That's what I did.
I have heard that's a technique in mental health where, you know, you make bed, then you can't go back to it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all you want to do is that, and the world is, you know, you can't do anything about it.
But at least you can have a nice bed to come home to. You know, that's what it was. It's like, it's one of the only things you actually can control is to make your bed. And so I make my bed mainly because I work from home and stuff now. So I want my place super clean or it's going to really bother me, you know? So, and I mean, I've been buying like stupid purchases off of Amazon too, just to feel something. Yeah, I bought this tapestry that's a lot smaller than I thought it would be.
You were telling me about this tapestry.
Yeah. It looks like the mountains.
It came in. Is it, yeah, it reminds you of home?
Yeah, it kind of does in a way. I was like, I want something that like I can, like I'm just stuck in this room. So I'm like, I want outside, inside, you know? I was like, because outside my window is like a palm tree and the street. So I was like, I need something. Mm. It was like color or something in here, you know? Nice. And then I bought these Edison light things too. Who knows why?
Nice touch. It's coming together. You gotta make your homestead homey, because that's the only place you got.
Yeah, and I never really spent much time doing that, like at any place I've lived, pretty much, because I didn't think I would live there that long, or I would be gone most of the time, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, I'm starting to realize that too. I've been doing a lot of home renovations on The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing like the joys of home ownership.
Mm-hmm. Through Zelda.
And it's really important to, you know, make sure you have a place for all your things.
Yeah.
Breakfast nook and a...
Dude, you gotta have a... If you don't have a nook, dude,
gotta get it.
I feel sorry for you. You gotta have a nook. You gotta have a place to go.
Bro.
You gotta have a nook.
Telling you, it's gonna change your life.
I'm telling you right now, I'm 20% more productive having a nook. Dude, if I had a nook, I'd have 4 more podcasts. I'd tell you that much. Dude, I'd be on it. I'd be on top of it. Damn. But shit, dude. You been cooking any in quarantine? Have you? Clearly not. Clearly not. You fucking. How much tuna do you go through? Is it?
You're a terrible interviewer.
I'm not a good interviewer. I'll tell you that much.
I'm eating out of a can.
I forgot about the can. Because, like, your whole charisma says I have more money than canned meat. But your actual life depicts otherwise, you know? You have the charisma of a Madonna, but you have, like, the eating habits of, like, I don't know, like, a Vincent van Gogh before, like, his death.
Before his hit album.
Before his hit album. That's who you're doing.
Before his before era.
Oh, God, dude.
You know, Madonna, always being compared.
Right. Always, dude. Always. There's never a time they're not said in unison, you know? Usually when you say it, someone says the other name at the exact same time. It's crazy.
The Venn diagram is a circle.
Yeah, dude, it's just a circle, and it's purple because you had red and blue, and they're just together now, dude. It's purple. That's that diagram. Oh, my gosh, dude. I'm glad you're doing good, though. Like, I'm glad you're not going psycho like most people.
Yeah,
like, I've talked to some people, and I'm like, damn, you're, like, barely hanging on. I feel like I'm doing great right now, but, like, I've talked to some people where it's really getting to them.
Where they're scratching, like, the number of days on the wall.
Yeah.
You're down to the floor, and they're like...
Yeah.
They're like, the light's never coming back in.
Dude, one of my friends posted a selfie of him. I was like, dude, you look like you're about to kill your whole family. Like, what is wrong with you? He had, like, red eyes. It looked like he hadn't slept in days. Like, his hair was just, like, all wild. And I'm like, dude, come on. I was like, get it together. Get a comb through that hair every once in every 3 days. Get a comb through it, you know?
Yeah, wash yourself. That's a big thing in depression is you got to, like, you got to bathe.
Right. Yeah.
Stop bathing. That's a sign.
Yeah. I feel like I have to take a shower pretty much every day. And I have, like, I'll be honest, through this quarantine, I have gone 3 to 4 days without a shower. but I always use like some dry shampoo, you know, and wash my face. I did that at least, you know, so that's good.
So,
yeah. How often are you bathing?
How do you wash dry shampoo out? Does it just fall out?
I think it's just a powder. Like, I don't know what it is, honestly. Do you not know what dry shampoo is?
No.
How? Explain that to me, how you don't know what it is.
I'm not an aerobics teacher in the 80s.
Okay. Whatever. You are a little bit. In a way, you are. But no, it's just, I think it's like baby powder or something like that. Some chemical like baby powder, and it just takes the oil out of your hair.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so that's about it. And I think it washes out. You don't even feel like you have it in your hair, so.
It also treats bed bugs.
Oh, does it?
Put it in the corners of the ring.
Oh, no. For serious?
Back through it, and then it like cuts them up on the inside because it's like razors to them.
What is?
Is
dry shampoo or baby powder?
Dry shampoo the same as diatomaceous earth?
It's same as what?
Never mind. I have
no idea.
I had hair like 2 years ago or a year ago at this place, and it turned out to be scabies though. So.
Oh yeah, I've heard of so many people getting scabies. I don't know why. Like, I don't even know what scabies are necessarily, except maybe a bug that goes under your skin. Is that right?
That's what it is. They're like microscopic.
Yeah.
Grow in. So.
When I was in middle school, a rumor got going around that these two girls who were like not exact, like they were pretty, like everybody considered them skanky, I guess, as middle schoolers. So I don't know what you had to do to be skanky as a middle schooler, but they considered them skanky because they got scabies, and they said that they just traded underwear and got scabies. I was like, I don't think that's how you get scabies, dude.
I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, I don't know if this is true either. Like I've talked about rumors from high school and everything, and I'm like, I don't know if any of these are true, but like in my head, they were true forever. You know,
we as adults,
these two girls got scabies from switching panties for some reason.
Now you can't even trade underwear with your best friend.
No, and I've wanted to, dude. They have some cute fucking boxer briefs, and I just can't get in them. It's terrible. Can't even switch on the holidays. It's
gotta get over that, bro. Gotta get over that.
Yeah, I gotta get over it one day. One day I will.
Try these on. They're micromodal. 100%.
Can't get anything with those, dude. With MeUndies.com, you can't get any scabies, and that is 100% true. By Jason Webb at MeUndies. Just got myself $50. But shit. So normally on the podcast we talk about lies you've told, like usually as like a child, or and then we have one as you as an adult. I mean, if you have anything in the middle there, that's fine as well. But do you have anything as a child that you lied about and got caught?
I lied about pretty much everything as a kid. I had really bad ADD, so I didn't do my homework a lot of the time, and then I would just tell my parents that I didn't have any, and they would keep asking, and this went on for like months, and they just trusted me like every day.
Yeah.
Ryan, do you have any homework? Nope, got it all done. All done. I don't have any homework. And just like, how did I think I was going to get away with that forever? Because they were going to see the report card.
Yeah. And did you make bad grades? Like you didn't try to do the homework at school right before? That was my move.
Straight F's.
Yeah. Straight F's? Dude, that's hard. That's like you really didn't try. Like you didn't even try to fake. Like I don't know. I feel like I skated through school because I would not ever do homework, and I would do it 15 minutes before class, and I would just make enough of a grade to get like a C or something.
No.
And that wasn't that hard.
It's so much anxiety as a kid. I could not even look at homework. So I just put it off and put it off. Yeah. And then I would get to school and they would ask for the assignment. And then I get that anxiety of failure and feeling like, you know, nothing I was ever going to get. I was worried that I wouldn't ever be able to get a job. I
at what grade though?
Like middle school. Like
middle school?
Yeah, because when that's when shit started getting serious, where they're like, here is, you know, the periodic table, here is math with letters, here is English literature that's from such old English that you can't even understand it anymore.
Yeah.
Good luck. And just the whole thing like collapsed in on itself on me, and I just had so much anxiety, I just didn't do any of it.
Yeah, I remember having anxiety in middle school because my friend told me that our grades from middle school is what would get us in college as well. Like, they went back that far, and I was like, holy fuck, dude, I'm still dumb. Like, I was like, I can't have them coming. Like, I still like professional wrestling. Like, I can't be judged on these grades, you know? So I was not doing well in middle school. I was like, I might as well just like sign up for the mill, you know, like fucking go work in textile.
It was good for your daddy. It'll be good
for you. Yeah, I was like, hopefully my dad can put in a good word at the mechanic shop. So, like, I was worried. I remember I had anxiety too for no reason because of my stupid ass friend, who I'm still friends with to this day. But he told me that my grades were going to matter. And I was like, fuck. I was like, I already failed sixth grade, basically, and you're just now telling me this.
But when you already feel like you failed, then what you do next doesn't matter.
Man. Yeah.
And you're just like, well,
yeah,
not gonna be perfect, so might as well not try.
Yeah, I get that as well. I think mine came from like, I couldn't see myself using any of this stuff in the real world. I was like, I know my parents, they're in the real world, and they have trouble with this shit when I bring it home to them. I was like, so I clearly don't need it, you know? Like, I don't need all this math. My mom has a calculator.
Were you really aware? Because I wouldn't even put that together.
I was pretty aware as a kid. Like, I didn't like learning math at all. Like, past multiplication tables, I was like, I'm done. And even multiplication tables, I never learned them. Because me and my friend John, who also told me that my grades matter in middle school, we were in fifth grade together. That's when I met him. And we both don't know our multiplication tables to this day. Like, because in fifth grade, the way they gave us our test was they give us all a sheet of multiplication tables. And, we would be like, all right, this week we're working on eights and nines. And so we would get the answers to them. And like, I would cheat. I'd pull out the piece of paper and write down all the answers to all of them. Cause like, we knew what they were going to be each time. They're just, you know, mixed around, but all the answers, and he would copy off mine. So we like cheated and through all of fifth grade, and we never learned our multiplication tables cause we never had to. Like, we're both 33 years old and don't know our multiplication tables. You throw out something that's not a 1, a 5, and a 10, and I'm going to have to give you it. It's going to take me a minute, you know?
Pull out your phone out of your pocket. Just give me.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, give me 1 second. Literally 1 second, and I'll have the answer for you.
How are you going to get a job flipping burgers if you don't know how to count? How many table 9 needs? Table 6 needs 4 burgers times 3 because they have 3 kids. 4 burgers.
Oh my God. How many apples do they want? Dude, if they want some apples, I'll figure it out. I'll get around to it. Dude, this fucking Chili's is rough. God damn, I work the back and I'm doing the most math I've ever done. But yeah, dude, I like, if I didn't have to learn it, I'd just like straight up wouldn't. Like, I was interested in maybe science. I'd pay attention in science, and I paid attention in English too for some reason, because I think I was just like into reading or whatever. But when it came to fucking math, I was like, nah, dude, I got a calculator watch right now. And I was like, it's only going to get better from here. I've heard what they're going to do with cell phones.
Knowledge is only going up.
Yeah, dude. You won't even have to learn a different language as soon as Google gets their shit together. Because as soon as they put the – they have the in-ear headphones that translate, like, in real time right now, but it's kind of shitty. But eventually, yeah, you're just going to be able to talk to someone speaking French, and it's going to sound English to you, and you can speak it back to them, and they have the ears. So,
I mean, I do that somewhat online, where, like, somebody will comment on something in, like, Portuguese, and I'll plug it in the Google Translate, and I'll translate it. And then I'll be, I'm missing something either on their part or like, I don't know, like, or whatever, but it's just gibberish anyway. So it's, I don't think any better.
It's not good right now. It's cause they struggle with, I think like,
slang. What is it?
Yeah. Just slang, any type of slang, which is most of what the internet's going to be on, you know, and
language evolves from slang, like it's an thing. Like, gotta get with the times, Google.
Yeah, if they would do that, we'd be good to go. We don't have to learn any more languages, and that's the kind of future I thought we'd have in fucking 2001, you know, and we're living it right now. I didn't have to learn shit. I have a phone that has everything, you know.
It has everything.
It's I don't need any, like, I don't have to have a brain anymore.
In our pocket.
Yeah.
Well, we have a brain for the important stuff, but we don't
need breathing. I need the brain to breathe. What else do I need it for? All it does is cause me trouble and breathing.
Well, for you, yeah.
Yeah, for me especially.
Brain, no good for you.
Oh, yeah, my brain has been not a good partner to have in this life, you know what I mean?
Your brain does not have your best interest at heart.
No, absolutely not, for sure. So
fine.
What has been a lie that you've told, like, as an adult? Have you told a lie as an adult?
Recently I
So you're currently living a lie?
I mean, I'm on a beautiful beach in Malibu.
Yeah, you're not in K-Town crack house at all.
Still sunny. I'm living my best life.
Yeah, that tuna was on a plate, not out of a can.
You said this was going to be a podcast, right?
Yeah, you thought just audio, I guess.
I recently cheated in a Uno game against children. When I was
against children,
yeah, kids are so easy to cheat against. They just
because they don't even know the real rules. You know, you could just make up rules and just take all their stuff.
They don't know the rules of life, which is life isn't fair.
Yeah, life isn't fair, and people are going to cheat. That's all you need to know.
People who are funny and people who you like are going to rob you.
Yeah, they're going to sleep on your fucking couch for 4 years, dude.
So what I'd like to do is whenever I put an Uno card down, is I put like one or two other cards together, and I just push them together real close, and then I put it down really careful on top of the deck.
Yeah.
My hand really fast, and they don't catch it.
Oh my gosh, that they're not paying attention at all. Like, their ADD is so bad.
They're fucking simps. They're just worried about what they're doing.
Yeah. They're like, what move am I gonna make? And you're like, yeah, I'm taking the whole deck.
They don't even notice. It's three turns in and I'm already at Uno.
Yeah, you've been putting down six cards at a time. Dude, I remember I used to do that. I'd try to put like three cards down at one time for Uno. And like, you won't get caught. Because, like, most people are just looking at their cards. You can cheat in Uno quick and easy.
People aren't good at math, as we've...
Yeah, dude. Like, what, 3 times 2? Fuck off. I'm putting 4 cards down. I don't know what reverse means, but I'm putting 6 cards down.
Draw 4? I don't care. I'm already...
Yeah, no, I'm putting these down next, you know? I'm at 0 now. What's Spanish for 0? Because that's how many cards I have. I'm done. I won. So
yeah, I find, as for like a lie, as an adult, I don't really, lying like doesn't serve a purpose anymore.
Yeah. It kind of like, yeah, I remember I liked lying as a kid a lot because one, I was bored and I wanted to lie to like, just getting caught lying was like some type of like invigorating feeling for me. And also just lying was like, yeah, why not make up a better story than what's actually happening, you know? And I was like, well, I go every day after school, I go home with my mom and I watch TV until dinner time, or I go out and I play street hockey, dude, and I beat people up. Like, it's like I'm gonna lie about the other thing. You know, like, who cares? Like, nobody wants to hear about, like, fucking 8-year-old's day. It's unless true. You make it interesting.
It's true. I do see that. I think I did some form of that when I was, like, 14 or something. Because, yeah. Yeah, I'm just a boring white kid. Like, I could say, yeah, it's okay. It's not too hot, not too cold.
Yeah.
Pull the road, man, mixed bag. How about you?
Yeah. No, you got to say something. You got to give them something. They're there asking for a reason.
Yeah. And then you get caught because the lie gets too big.
Yeah. Because, or you're like me who had to go practice street hockey at night so that the neighbor didn't find out that I never played street hockey before. That's what I had to do. I told the neighbor that I played street hockey. And he was like, oh, I play street hockey too. And I was like, well, shit. I was like, I got to learn how to play street hockey. So I got some rollerblades and I went out every night into the back patio and I rollerbladed and I had a hockey stick and I learned how to play street hockey well enough to keep the lie going.
Then it wasn't a lie.
Yeah, then it wasn't a lie. Like I lived my truth through my lie in a way, you know? Like I became the guy I wanted to be.
Your lies are the framework in which you live your truth.
Yeah, there you go, dude. That's
our greatest lies that we tell ourselves is that we are better people and then we become it. Lying.
There you go. What are you, fucking Gandhi? Look at you.
Just living my life, man.
Just sitting in Malibu, not in a wooden back chair. That like every one of our aunts has. Dude, it's spray painted gold, isn't it? Is it?
Just flipping rocks into the water. Just, you know, walking two sets of footprints in the sand, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved seeing you skip that stone in the water. Really saw that clearly go into the water and not the corner of the room.
Oh, look, a dolphin.
Damn, dude. That water is especially blue behind you. It's like...
Yeah, not as blue as yesterday, but, you know. Guy's coming around Friday.
Yeah, he's going to fix it for you, I'm sure. Well, what have you been busy with lately? Anything you want to talk about?
Yes, I am actually working on an animation for my next show. It's on Twitch.
Which? Okay, do you have the date for it, or is it?
Yes, it is Friday, this Friday, May 22nd, I believe.
May 22nd.
Yeah, May 22nd, Bitch Puddin' digital drag show on Twitch.
On Twitch.
It's going to be big. I've been spending every day for the past 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Animation, and it's gonna be really cool. So if you're in the neighborhood, come check it out.
The neighborhood of the internet, you know.
Yeah. You're around if you could find a if you could find some time to, you know, come by.
Like you have anything. There's no other Twitch happening that night that's worth going to. Skip your family Zoom and let's go support Ryan over here.
Always a super fun time. You might meet somebody.
Yeah, people go home with people all the time on Zoom. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah. It's a real hookup spot. The show is starting at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Hosted by Bitch, B-I-Q-T-C-H, putting Digital Drag Show.
Awesome. Well, if you give me the link to it, I'll set it up with the podcast. And I'll just put out the podcast tomorrow. So get a couple of people from in LA, maybe zooming in.
Count on you, Jason.
Dude, I'm telling you, you don't need to count on me. I haven't done this podcast in a while. So,
no.
Do what?
To pack that room out.
I'm going to pack the room out. How many can Zoom hold? That's how many's going to come to it. And I don't care if I have to suck me undies dick to get people there. I will.
All right. But not too many people because it's a fire hazard.
Okay. Yeah. That's true. You can't have too many people over Ethernet.
Yeah.
So we'll cap it at 400.
Capacity's like 1,000.
Okay. Well, we'll still cap it at 400 because I don't want you to feel too good about yourself.
You could spare some followers. I really appreciate it.
Okay. For sure.
I really appreciate this. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll get, and if anybody is listening that's going to go to this Twitch, you just have to type in something that says that I sent you. I don't know. Do I get any feedback from that? Do I get like a kickback?
How much tuna do you want?
I want 4 cans legit delivered tomorrow if I'm putting this out.
Send me your information.
Dude, I'm sending you my address, and if that shit isn't here tomorrow, it doesn't go up. So okay, if you're hearing this on Monday, what's tomorrow? The 20 what? Or maybe, what is tomorrow?
18th.
Oh, yeah, the 18th. So if this comes out tomorrow, the 18th, that means Ryan sent me 4 cans of tuna overnight. And so he could promote his Twitch. Do what?
Fine if it's Bumblebee.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine as Bumblebee. I'm not like a chicken of the sea man or anything. Yeah, you know?
I'm looking at my assets right now, and I have to move some stuff around. But I can get you 4 cans. I think.
All right.
I can get you 4 cans. I just need to. I need to call a guy.
Yeah. Listen. As soon as we get off this Zoom, I need you to call that man, and I need you to tell him that this has to be done overnight ASAP. You don't care who has to die to get this to me, but it needs to get to me tomorrow or it's not going out. I'm not trying to stress you out. I know the pandemic's hard, but I need that tuna.
Okay.
I don't get it. I'm going to take your career down with me.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
Okay, thank you. That's all I can ask out of a friend before I destroy his career. Well, thanks so much for doing this, Ron. I really appreciate it. And I'll put it out tomorrow. Yeah. So and send me all the information. I'll put it in the Twitch. I'll put the Twitch thing out. You send it to me now?
It's like right now before I forget.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Is it twitch.tv/bitchpudding, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll put up the link because you're like showing that you're like really a 40-year-old woman trying to figure out the internet right now.
You know what a meme is?
Yeah.
Otter's been sending me these memes. I don't. What's a boomer? That's not nice.
Oh, damn, dude.
Not nice.
You could do a character as a 40-year-old woman. I'd believe it.
You okay, boomer? You okay? Yeah. You're the boomer, not me. What was I doing? Okay.
Oh, you're looking for the Twitch thing. You completely forgot. Because you have Alzheimer's at this point. Fucking 68 years old.
I have Alzheimer's. Yeah. I guess. I don't know. I'm not good at... Yeah.
I'll put it up. It'll be on my Instagram.
We'll figure it out from there.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But thanks for doing it. Thanks for, not wearing sleeves and being disrespectful. But and eating your fucking tin can tuna because you really didn't give a shit. And I appreciate that about you. I want you to know that. But I'll talk. We can continue talking after this. I'll just end it right here.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. And, go die.
Go die.